Welcome to the Ribs and Knits podcast, where we cover everything godly and girly. We're going to be looking at what we should be clothing ourselves in. You have a choice in life. Do you want to clothe yourself in something that brings you joy and comfort? Or do you want to clothe yourself in something that looks kind of good, but gives you a rash in the long run? We get this choice in life, and we're going to be covering which choice to make. Let's do it together. Let's go. Hello, and welcome back to the Ribs and Knits podcast. I'm with Hannah.
Hey.
Guys, I have to tell you a story. The other day when I was planning for this podcast, I was writing down on a notebook, and at the top of my notebook it said being cool, and I was writing under it, and my friend came over and said, my friend Amy, she goes, Emily, she's Australian, are you writing down a list of all the things you can do to be cool? And I was like, no, I'm preparing a podcast, and I was so embarrassed because I was like, no, I'm not.
No.
I'm not trying to be cool, I
promise. I'm not trying that hard.
I'm not trying to be cool, I promise. Although, actually, I'll tell you a fact. When I was a teenager, I did. Wait, we'll start the podcast now, 15 minutes. But when I was a teenager, I actually did used to watch videos like on YouTube. I'd search like how to be cool, how to be pretty, how to make people like me. And I used to watch videos and write down notes.
I did not know that about you. We've been best friends for 4 years and this woman has never told me that.
Just a little thing just for you guys watching or listening. And yeah, I used to do that because I was so insecure.
Mm.
And that is something that happens with trying to be cool.
Yeah.
But like...
yeah. In terms of like the church, is it okay to want to be cool?
Yeah.
What do you think on that?
I mean, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Mm. Being cool is very much about earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
Being cool, I think the essence of being cool is impressing people.
Mm.
It's being seen as relevant. It's being seen as significant. Being cool is this desire to be significant, but a desire to be significant boosts me. It says I am important and I deserve to be valued and noticed. But that's not what the God tells us to do. It says God tells us to set our minds on things above, which means set my life, set my goals as to push people closer to Jesus, to tell people about Jesus, not for them to look at me, but rather to look at him. It's I don't want people to notice I have the best outfit in the room. I don't want people to notice that I have the best anecdotes for every situation. I don't want them thinking, wow, Emily has really good earrings, or she has the best sock collection. I used to try and have the best sock collection when I was a teenager. I wanted to have like a thing, and I tried doing socks. It doesn't work. No one cares. No one cares.
Wow, guys.
And so it's the thing of like, it's putting our priorities in the right place when we're a Christian. For non-Christians, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
You can have your goal in life, I just want to be cool.
Let that be a great goal. That is a cool goal.
You go, Sandra.
You go,
girl. But for Christians, we have a higher call. We have a different call.
Yeah.
And our call is to set our minds and our thoughts and our behavior on things above, and to reflect Jesus in all we did. And Jesus didn't, he wasn't cool on earth.
He, bless him,
we love
him, love you so much, Jesus.
So real.
To add to that, actually, I actually had a piece of scripture which is pretty much the exact same thing. It's not Colossians 3.
It's late, your best friend.
It's almost late, your
best friend. It's late, your best friend.
And it's almost like the Holy Spirit speaks through us. Wow. Okay, so it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It basically talks about being worldly. And then it says, for one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. And so where I think, I mean, what that is saying is pretty much that why are you looking at a person as your example, and why are you looking at a person as, I want to be like that? Like, Jesus doesn't call us to that. He calls us to want to be like him and him alone. And actually, if you're looking at Paul, which, you know, who is your Paul? Who is the person that you look up to and you're like, I want to be them? But actually, you've gotten to the point where you've honestly glorified them and put them in a position, in a higher position than they actually are, when actually all they're doing is serving the Lord. And like, for example, Em obviously is an influencer. She loves fashion. But actually, she uses it to glorify the Lord. And for God's works for her life, God had already written that in the book of Emily Beanie when he was forming her, creating her. And that is an artistic, like, God is artistic, God is creative, and God has given her this like heart of art and creativity for clothing and uses it to glorify the Lord. Yes. And actually that is an example of actually like, yes, Emily is cool. She is cool, but she's not cool out of a place of a lack of validation or a lack of identity. She's cool actually out of a place of knowing who she is in Christ, yeah. knowing what Christ has created her to do, and then walking in that and following that. I just think that's okay. But I just think in that, like, we have all been assigned a task, and some people's tasks will be really cool. Emily's task is really flipping cool. I would love to be able to be an influencer. I'm training to be a paramedic, which you could also say is cool as well.
It's very cool to save lives. It's
very cool to say. You're saving lives in the spirit.
Every child thought Fireman Sam was the coolest.
I mean, yeah.
So
I'm basically Fireman Sam.
You are
Paramedic Hannah.
Paramedic Hannah. That's got quite the same ring.
It's got a streak. It's got a streak to it. But I think in that, yeah, like we can, and I don't think actually, I think to want to be cool is okay, dependent on intentions.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going, I want to be cool because I want people to think I'm cool.
I want them to like me.
I want them to like me. I want them to think that I'm someone worth hanging out with.
Definitely.
I want them to look at my clothes or look at my life and be jealous of how I live.
Ooh,
that is a bad, bad place to be. But if you're going, I want to be cool for the sake of glorifying the Lord.
I want to look respectable.
Yes. Like, in those lights, like, actually think about the people that you're reaching. And one thing that I was thinking about, like, trying to, like, relate it to scripture, I was like, okay, is there anyone in scripture who explicitly wants to be cool? No. But what there is in scripture is, I mean, Paul's actually my favorite. I love Paul. But actually what Paul did is he aligned himself to the Lord to be able to glorify him further. And so for us who love fashion, how can we align ourselves to the Lord in the gifts that he's given us in wanting to wear cool outfits, and how does that glorify him further? And I think for me, like, I know that I've reached people that people in the church would have never been able to reach, all because of the way that I dress. And it can literally come from someone coming up to you and going, oh, I really love your outfit. Why do you dress the way that you dress? And my testimony.
They don't even ask why. You say, oh, thank you so much. I was inspired by Jesus today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's always a route and a way to glorify him further.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily a problem to want to be cool. What I think is a problem is your intention behind it. And if your intention isn't to glorify God, then that is a problem.
Definitely. And that's why I think the story of Samson is really, really valuable to us. Because Samson is given this thing even before he's born of like, this man is gonna really help people, he's gonna help the nation. And but there are some rules. There are some rules that you have to keep him pure for what he's gonna do. And his mum is given it, his dad is given it, and they even like ask for confirmation from an extra angel. Like, can we make sure that we definitely know the rules? And it's very clear as day. And one of the main things is don't cut that hair.
Do not chop it.
Don't chop it. It's important.
Don't cut
the
hair,
guys. He needs it. It's valuable and it gives him strength. We don't know why God chose his hair to be the thing that gave him strength.
Yeah.
But it was that. Okay. And so he then has this thing and he then falls for this woman. And in Judges 13, Delilah. And Delilah is actually in a coup. She's actually working with the local officials to figure out what's going on with this dude? How is he so strong? How can he break down armies and destroy things? How's he doing that? You need to go in, make him fall in love with you and work out what it is. And so Delilah actually spends a few tries being like, I love you. Tell me how you get your strength. And one time he says it in a sort of way and she doesn't get it, and then it doesn't work. He still destroys people. She says it again, she says it again, and then in the end she's like, why don't you love me? Why don't you show me? Why don't you tell me what really takes away your power? And he tells her, he gives her the specifics because he wants her approval. He wants he feels bad. He's like, I want her to know how much I love her. And in the end, he gets taken away and
Well, first off, his hair gets chopped off.
His hair gets chopped off.
And then he loses all his strength.
He loses his strength and he gets taken away because of his basically being irresponsible, essentially. He was trying to be cool and impress this girl that he really liked by telling her a secret that he knew God had gifted him. And it was a secret that was between him, his parents, and God. And it was for the good of God. It was for the good of the people. And it was an intentional thing that God had given him to serve a greater purpose. And so I think sometimes we need to look at our thing. I think the thing that gives me strength is obviously Jesus within me, but personally it is my fashion, it is my clothes. But then there are things of like, sometimes I stress, I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't dress in the way I love because people are going to judge me, so I might tone it down. And then I end up like, when I wear
still doing the same thing.
I'm doing, yeah,
because you're still like looking at validating.
I'm doing it for the people.
So actually you're still doing the same thing by dressing down, because you're going, well, people will accept me more if I dress less than.
But there is, for me, there is a joy in getting dressed.
Yeah.
And it is a way of worship for me. I really do feel like my clothes and my dressing and my style is a worship for me to God. I'm like, I want to do my best for you. And I hope that it brings you glory.
Yeah.
I hope that you use it for your for the good of others, for the good of people coming to you. And in my life, I have seen the fruit of that. I have seen, it's so funny, I like post style stuff on Instagram and then put that I love fashion, and somehow people have come to church. People have DM'd me telling me that they questioned Jesus and they've looked into the Jesus thing and they are doing Alpha, and it's like, oh wow, like I got dressed and God was glorified. And so your thing might be, Samson's was his hair, he needed it for strength, but your thing might be art. You might, we have an amazing friend called Lydia Miller, and she is just an incredible artist. And when I see her art, I experience the Holy Spirit.
I
grow in strength. I look at her art and every time I'm just so moved by what she can do. I have a friend called Bwemi who's actually behind the camera. He writes amazing songs. And there have been times where I've been really struggling and not feeling great, and I've just put, back to sender, it's back to sender, everything is back to sender, and that makes me feel good. It makes me feel joyful. And there is the Holy Spirit flowing through his words that go into his songs, and that is his strength. And so it's, God will have given you something, and it's not to waste it like Samson did. He wasted it on a girl, not that, you know,
a girl.
You know, sometimes it's good to give stuff to boys and girls, but this was a very important thing that was valuable. Like if Wemmy just made all his songs about, or Eltan is his stage name, if Eltan made all of his songs about some girl because she's manipulating him to do it, that's not very good. If my boyfriend was like, hey, can you wear this outfit all the time because it makes me feel good, and if you love me, you'll do it, which is what Delilah says to him. And I just start wearing this outfit all the time, I don't think my followers would be very interested in me anymore. I don't think people would feel like interested. And if I then keep posting it, it's like, okay, she's a bit boring and she doesn't actually care about her craft at all. So,
but can we talk about that? Okay, so your craft, being in your lane. Now, there are people in your life who you'll go, like, literally, like we were saying, like, who is Paul? What is Apollos? What is Paul? Like, what even are these people? Like, who even are they? And why are we looking at them and putting them at such a high standard of wanting to live our life to be exactly like them? And I think, like, it's very easy to see someone else running a race and go, oh my gosh, they're propelling in that, and so maybe I should do that to propel in that. And it's actually like, no, like, if that's not what God's called you to do, then you definitely, definitely should not step into that lane. Now, I think it is one of those things which is kind of hard to navigate and hard to discern, in the sense of, sometimes you are just good at things, and naturally, I mean, people can be good at many different things. You don't have to be good at just one thing. But I do believe that everything that we do should be for the glorification of the Lord. And it does say that in scripture. It says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do for the glory of the Lord. And for us, it's the way that we dress. And for other people, it will be different things. Like, I lead worship, and so worship for me is also another lane that actually, if Em came along and was like, Hannah, I'm going to be a worship leader, I'd be like, okay, like, where's that come from? Like, has that come from a place of like, God has called me into walking in this? Or has that come from a place of, well, you do it and I think you're cool, so I want to do it too? And it, yeah, yeah, and at that point you are, I believe, like, you are giving, you're honestly giving room for the enemy to live and breathe. Because what we're talking about when we're saying about walking in your lane is being able to be so fixed and focused on God that even if comparison comes your way, you're not looking side to side, you're looking at him. And I think if you let comparison, if you let comparison come your way, and if you let comparison live and breathe in you, of course you're going to be looking at that person and going, oh my gosh, they're so cool, I need to do everything that I can.
See what they're doing.
You know, and it's like,
you need to be them.
Yeah, and you don't. You actually don't need to be them. You need to be who God says you are. You need to walk in what God said he wants you to walk in. And you will see fruit by being obedient. You won't see fruit by copying someone else. You will see fruit by being obedient. And that's the biggest thing I've learned, is that copying another person, first off, is a lack of integrity, which is a whole other topic. But also it means that the fruit that you're seeing isn't even necessarily, it hasn't even necessarily got God's hand on it. And I think we want to be walking in the things that God has prepared for us. Yeah, prepared for us to do and put his hand on. And the things that he's put his hand on, you'll see fruit in. And so, yeah, I'd say, like, actually, do question why you want to be cool. And if you are comparing yourself to people and you're going, oh, well, they're cool and I want to be like them, then I'd really say, like, really try and incline your heart to what it means to be like Jesus. If you're going to be like anyone,
be like the man.
Be like the absolute God. Like, he literally is God.
Jesus on earth.
Be like him.
I definitely, as we end, I think that you want to be remembered for something. If you want to be remembered, be remembered for something great. I love the story of the Polish Catholic priest Maximilian Kolbe, who in place of, he was basically in a concentration camp, and a man was pulled forward to go into the starvation bunker to die, and he basically said, no, don't take him, he has a family, he has children, he has a wife, I don't have anything to go back to, I don't have a family who need me, I'll go into the starvation bunker for him. And so he goes into the starvation bunker, and it said that it, from the outside, you could hear songs of worship, you could hear joy, you could hear laughter. And he went in, and in the end they actually had to be sadly killed by injection, because they lasted for longer than they should have, and they needed the starvation bunker again. And so but what he had done is he had laid down his life for another person. And that is an incredible testimony. And the other man actually lived. He actually lived in well into his 90s. He had children and grandchildren and a family. And he lived to tell the testimony of this man who saved his life because he chose to go in his place. And if I want to be cool, I want to be cool for something as cool as Maximilian. I want to be known for something important, for something valuable. No one stood there going, Maximilian did this and his outfit ruled when he offered it. No one's standing there going, oh, Maximilian, he told the best jokes and he had the cutest girlfriend. They're saying Maximilian was a man who laid down his life for another because he cared deeply about other human beings. That is something that is worth more than its weight in gold, more than its weight in cool clothes. And that's something we can do. Obviously, I'm not in a position where I need to lay my life down for someone, but I can lay my life down in giving up my time, my energy, my effort, my life for other people. I can look around the room I'm in.
And that is what being like Jesus is. And it's like, he was like Jesus. And therefore, he was known for something great because he was like Jesus. So honestly, to be known for something great, you don't even have to do anything great except for be like Jesus.
I know.
That is,
even literally, in this room, I can look around and see all these people who've given up their time and energy and talents and everything to be here and support me. And so, love you all. Love everyone who's in the room. Thank you so much for being here. You can't see them, but there's two, four, six people in this room who've been helping me out. But yeah, and so that's a testimony for their life. They've done it. They are now really, really cool.
So cool.
But yeah.
Because they were like Jesus. Basically, to be cool, be like Jesus.
But yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. If you have any questions for season two, make sure you DM us on the Ribs and Knits podcast. I'll be sure to get a friend over to chat over your thing. And yeah, hope you have a blessed week. Be like Jesus.
Be like Jesus. We love you. Bye.